Al Jazeera Podcasts.
Today, a decade since the mass kidnappings of schoolgirls that changed Nigeria.
276 female students were kidnapped by Boko Haram from a government secondary school in Chibok, Nigeria.
Bring Back Our Girls has ignited across social media, calling attention to a story that has been largely overlooked.
But the kidnappings haven't stopped. I'm Natasha Del Toro, and this is The Take. On the night of April 14th, 2014, members of the armed group Boko Haram kidnapped 276 schoolgirls in Nigeria's Chibok community. This is a mother of a missing child speaking in 2014 to the BBC.
I'm really worried. I can't eat, I can't sleep. I even have an ulcer. Sometimes I feel very faint due to worry. And my children are equally worried. Often they start crying and calling out for their sibling who's still missing.
It launched a campaign to rescue them, known as Bring Back Our Girls. But 10 years later, dozens are still missing. The Chibok abductions were only the start. Kidnappings have become a recurring nightmare in the country and a booming ransom industry. It's dragged in Nigeria's army, one of the largest in Africa.
Security forces in Nigeria are searching large areas of forest in the northwest after gunmen kidnapped over 280 children from a school.
At least 15 students have been kidnapped from a school in the northwestern Sokoto state.
It came 2 days after the mass abduction of school children in Kaduna.
The army announced it had rescued all 137 hostages and 10 stayed back in town for further medical treatment.
We were in such a terrible situation that can only be imagined. Even the food we were given to eat is better imagined and not something a human being should ever be given to eat.
Since Nigeria's new president, Bola Tinubu, took office last May, 4,777 people have been kidnapped throughout Nigeria. That's according to SBM Intelligence, a Nigerian consultancy. In all that time, the Bring Back Our Girls movement hasn't gone away.
My name is Buki Shonibare. I'm a co-founder of the Bring Back Our Girls movement in Nigeria. I'm also the founder and executive director of Invictus Africa, where we use data to highlight inequality gaps and to advocate for a more equal society.
We know it's the 10-year anniversary of the Chibok kidnappings. How does it feel to be talking about this issue still today?
I feel extremely sad, and that is because I remember when the abduction took place and how the country grappled with coming to terms with such an unprecedented situation. I mean, 276 girls had been taken. In fact, at that time, we didn't know that it was that much of children that were taken because there was no official figure as to the numbers. And so within the first 2 weeks of the abduction, there was complete confusion. In fact, at some point, nobody was saying anything because the government had said no girls were taken. But the parents kept coming back. The community kept coming back to say, our children were taken. So just imagine the fact that nothing was happening simply because there was denial. And just thinking back, I feel sad that we're having to commemorate 10 years. 48 parents have died. One of them just went completely blind. And not just the reality that 91 girls are still missing, but also the reality that a lot of the parents are very sick. It's a sad reality.
And it was such an unprecedented thing to happen then. And now, here we are, abductions at Nigerian schools are still ongoing. You know, they were first carried out by armed group Boko Haram a decade ago. But since then, you have criminal gangs that have been doing the same. Explain to me, why would anyone decide that they need to kidnap hundreds of schoolgirls and boys?
I think why speaks to the issue of motive as to why anyone would even kidnap school children. And so for Nigeria right now, like you have rightly identified, a lot of kidnappings are happening right now. But we must be careful to separate kidnappings from abductions. So abduction of the Chibok girls, and this answers the question of why, was based on a religious and theological reason. Boko Haram means Boko is Haram, Western education is forbidden. And within that context, that girls in particular should not go to school. There is that ideological reason why girls are being taken. So when Boko Haram or insurgent groups who are likely concentrated in the northern region of Nigeria, when they take girls or school children or even schoolboys, they are doing that for ideological reasons.
And of course, we should say, I mean, that is their interpretation.
Yes, a completely wrong, skewed interpretation of Islamic tenets, that it says that girls should not go to school. But there is also the second limb of it, which is for pecuniary gains, for economic gains. And it has been excused under issues around economic hardship. And so these are the two reasons we've been seeing as to why school children are being taken.
Mm. So we know that one of the ways to bring the kidnapped home is by paying a ransom. And, you know, as you just said, this has become this kind of booming industry.
Kidnappings for ransom are a major problem in Nigeria.
Criminal gangs without ideological affiliation have adopted the tactic to obtain ransom money.
Between July 2022 and June 2023, thousands of people were abducted with about $3.8 million reportedly paid in ransoms. I mean, I know that's a lot of money. Do you think that these payments are actually fueling the cycle of mass kidnappings in Nigeria?
Absolutely. I remember when the Nigerian government negotiated for and secured the release of 82 Chibok girls sometime in May of 2017.
The 82 Chibok girls released by the group Boko Haram arrived in the Nigerian capital Abuja for a meeting with President Muhammadu Buhari.
It was the second time that the Nigerian government would secure release. The first time was 21 girls, and the second one was 82 girls. And it was reported then that the Nigerian government not only paid, but also released some of the boys, the Boko Haram members that were in prison. It was part of the deal for release of the girls. But one thing happened after that release was done. We just saw an increased spate of abductions, of bombings, of attacks on civilian communities, and many of such activities of Boko Haram.
Criminal gangs have overrun communities in Nigeria, especially in the north. The army is deployed in nearly all of Nigeria's 36 states, dealing with criminal gangs.
And I remember how Nigerians attacked us, bring back our girls. People were upset with us that we were the ones calling for the release of the Chibok girls. And so the Nigerian government didn't have any choice but to go and pay. And now that they have paid, more children are being taken and there has been increased attacks. So to answer your question, once ransom is paid, it is sort of like financially empowering the insurgents. And it's sort of like funds to fund their criminality, to expand their enterprise, to recruit and conscript more fighters, to expand their messaging. And so we have to grapple between, should we pay ransom so that poor innocent girls or children can be brought back, or should we not pay? So people, Nigeria started seeing them that once you have been abducted, then it's collateral damage. Leave them, don't pay for them so that more people will not be taken. Is an unfortunate dilemma, but we cannot shy away from the fact that paying ransom expands the enterprise of the insurgents.
After the break, what should be done to end the kidnappings in Nigeria?
Get your news in less than 3 minutes, three times per day with the Al Jazeera News Updates. Just ask your home device to play the news by Al Jazeera or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
So, Buki, let's talk about what the government is doing. The president of Nigeria, Bola Tinubu, He said at an event with members of the judiciary that kidnappers must be treated as terrorists.
We must treat them equally as terrorists and not have to really get rid of them. And I promise you, we're going to get rid of them.
What did you make of that statement?
While that statement was, you know, laudable, she considered it that once you treat kidnappers as terrorists, it means that the law that is being used to prosecute them will be our anti-terrorism law, which has more stiffer penalties, you know. There has been difference between political statement and what is done. So while that statement was made, the best way to deter this terrorist or this kidnapper is the implementation, putting action behind that. So yes, it sounds good, but when you look at, you know, the reality, we don't see much of that. And you could hear sometimes that there has been arrest, but does that arrest lead to a criminal justice process, i.e. trials, and then they are imprisoned or something, and publicize it so that it serves as deterrent to other people? We're not seeing much of that. And then there are other efforts that we expect that the Nigerian government should commit to. For instance, the Bola Ahmed Tinubu administration has not officially acknowledged that 91 of the Chibok girls are still missing and that it is committing to bringing them back. There has been no commitment like that. Those are the kind of commitment that we also expect to see. But beyond words, there must also be action.
And let me ask you, do they have the resources to be able to stop this problem?
I would say that it is not for want of resources. And by resources, we're talking about financial resources. We are talking about material resources. We are talking about technical resources. Nigerian military, for instance, has been applauded for its gallantry, for how we have won many wars, how we have supported many countries that are going through war.
So you're saying that it's not a matter of resources, it's a matter of political will.
It's a matter of political will. Whatever that you prioritize, there will be increased political will towards that issue. But we've not seen that much. You know, one of the things that I usually see, and we usually see at the movement, is that if the Chibok girls were the children of the I Am Mighty in Nigeria, the Nigerian government would have done everything possible to bring them back within the first week. There wouldn't have been that denial. In fact, there would have been effort. We would not be commemorating 10 years and 91 of those girls are still missing. They would have deployed every arsenal. But right now, we still have all that number of girls. So political will always stem from the value and the importance that you place on the subject. The Chibok girls have come. Chibok. Chibok is a completely unknown community in the Northeast region. They are not rich. You won't find edifices there. And so the value and the importance, even the political value that is placed on them, on their parents, on the community, was so low that the political will was also that low.
That's really sad to hear that it's about the value that they're placing on these people's lives. And you bring up another point. So the government is not taking the action that they could take to stop the kidnappings. What are the actions that they're taking to help the families that are going through these hardships? Are they doing enough there to protect the families and to help the families?
No. The Nigerian government, I will use the Chibok girls as an example. Like I said earlier, 48 of the Chibok girls' parents have actually died. Many of them are sick right now. We've not been hearing anything. The last time any Chibok girl came back was August 14 of 2023. The only time we hear anything from the government, that there is any communication from the government regarding the Chibok girls, it is when there has been one girl that strayed away or escaped. So there is no formal communication line that updates the parent, whether month in, month out, or every week or every quarter, on efforts being made, on successes being achieved, or failures that they are experiencing. In the Nigerian Constitution, Section 14, Subsection 2B of our Constitution says that the security and the welfare of the people shall be the primary responsibility of the government. There are two aspects to it, security and welfare. We have failed the Chibok girls, the Chibok community, the Chibok parents in terms of the security of the people. But we must not fail them in terms of the welfare. Welfare means that those parents of the Chibok girls must be catered to. Nothing stopped the Nigerian government from bringing them together, attending to their health needs. And lastly, is the security of all of schools in Nigeria. Every school right now is prone to abduction or kidnapping. The Nigerian government should put in place measures to make sure that every school, 80,000 schools have been marked in Nigeria as high risk of abduction from terrorists, from insurgents, from bandits. Take those schools and make sure that you bring them to a level of security and safety standard so that we reduce the chances of abduction. The Chibok girls are not the only ones that have been abducted in Nigeria. The Dapchi girls, the Kankara boys are not the only ones. There has been abductions way before the Chibok girls and after that. This is an opportunity for us to establish a missing persons register and document the missing persons that we have in Nigeria so that as they come back, we can tick them off and we can deploy our arsenal to bring back the remaining.
Buki, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
And that's The Take. This episode was produced by Sari El Khalili and Khaled Sultan, with Amy Walters, Nikin Oliai, Ashish Malhotra, Chloe K. Lee, Miranda Lin, David Enders, Sonia Bagat, Zeyna Badr, Veronica Campana, and me, Natasha Del Toro, in for Malika Bilal. Our sound designer is Alex Roldan. Alexandra Locke is The Take's executive producer, and Ney Alvarez is Al Jazeera's head of audio. We'll be back.